Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, April 5th, 2020. This is a section called Local and State. The headline reads, Shelton Gardner Still Butting Heads. July 14th Commissioner's Runoff Candidates Debate Jail's Electrical Work by Bob Campbell. With the COVID-19 virus convulsing Exeter County, Commissioner's Runoff Candidates Eddie Shelton and Mike Gardner are limited in the moves they can make to win on July 14th, after a bruising March 3rd Republican primary in which they bitterly questioned each other's abilities to serve the capacious Precinct 1. But they were still trading political body blows last week about Shelton's companies having assumed the final $1 million of electrical work at the new $25 million jail expansion when the original contractor fell behind schedule. It was unethical for him to make $1 million on the taxpayers after voting to issue all that debt, said Gardner, a former Odessa City Councilman who is the son of the late Precinct 1 Commissioner Freddie Gardner. The first contractor went bankrupt, and the general contractor asked Eddie if he wanted to do it, and he finished it up. I don't believe he did anything illegal because he got a ruling from the Attorney General's office. But it doesn't make any difference how many hands it went through before it got to him. It was still $1 million. You've got to turn those things down. Shelton said he hadn't bid on the project for his Dennard Electrical and Apple Electrical Contracting companies because he was a county official, but he agreed to finish the last 60% of the job when general contractor John Cooper, president of Cooper Construction of Odessa, asked him to. Mike isn't much of a businessman if he thinks a $1 million permit means you're making $1 million, said Shelton, who wants a second four-year term after being appointed in 2014 and running unopposed 2 years later. Forman Electric had internal issues, and after John pulled them off the job, he contacted me because mine were the only companies of sufficient size to complete it. I picked up where they left off, just to get the project finished, because the county is spending money each and every day outsourcing prisoners. I lost money, and John didn't do well either. Like Shelton, Gardner hasn't done much campaigning since he led the primary with 1,369 votes, or 47.4%, to Shelton's 966, or 33.4%, and Dale Wayne Haas Duggar's 555, or 19.2%. There's no Democrat in the race. Precinct 1 is Ector County's biggest, covering the far northern and far western Odessa and a big chunk of the county in its far north central, northwestern, and western boundaries down to near the southwest corner. Unless something drastically changes, I won't go to any forum, said Gardner, operations manager at Canary LLC Service Company. I don't know what I can do as far as interacting with people other than get on Facebook and advertise and on radio and things. I just have to play it by ear and see what happens. Right now, I have other priorities. I'm trying to help some neighbors out, take care of my family, and stay safe. Gardner said it is heartening to have led the primary field and miss winning the GOP nomination without a runoff by only 153 votes. I would rather be in my position because it's harder to dig out of a hole, he said. I know the areas I need to work in to bring in a few more votes, and I've had a lot of good phone calls from people who supported me. I have also had people who supported Haas say, we will help you out or do whatever we need to do to get you in there. Asked if being Freddie's son has helped, Gardner said the name identification has been an asset, as has his dad's 18-year record as commissioner and retirement from the Odessa Fire and Rescue Department as an assistant chief after 36 years. The elder Gardner died in September 2014. I always tell people I have the playbook to do a good job, the candidate said. I sat on the fire department's retirement board when I was on the council from 2014 to 18, and I think the guys there did appreciate what I did. The runoff's wild card may be Duggar, whose backing could be potentially make the difference in a close race, with a much smaller turnout being expected July 14th in advance of the uncontested November 3rd general election. I will make an endorsement, but it will be a little bit later, Duggar said last week. I'm still talking to folks. Shelton said he had not campaigned either because the COVID-19 crisis takes precedence. My concern is for the citizens of our city and county and for our county employees, he said, noting that he had been consulting with County Judge Debbie Hayes before her Monday issuance of a local disaster declaration. The commissioner said, "All my focus and all my resources are going into this. My campaign has to be on the back burner because this thing is very serious. I'd love to campaign, but my priority is to take care of what I'm already committed to do, and that is to be a leader of this community." This article is entitled, "Airport Sees Dramatic Drop in Flights." Airlines have reduced schedules in wake of COVID-19 outbreak, by Tony Venegas. The past few weeks have been a shock to the system for Midland International Air and Spaceport. With the coronavirus pandemic unfolding across the country, combined with the steep drop in the price of oil, that's created a significant drop in business. Deputy Director Aaron Easton said that he's seen the effects of that firsthand over the course of the last month. "It's dropped off pretty good," said Easton in a phone interview Friday. "I'd say it's pretty similar to what you're seeing on the roads, to be honest." Easton added that the number of flights coming and going from the airport is about a third less than what you would typically see on a normal day. The exact number of that drop, however, won't be known for at least another week or a week and a half, according to Easton. At that point, the airport, which is operated by the City of Midland, will have the monthly reports arriving from the airlines. Three airlines, Southwest, American Eagle, and United, all operate commercial flights along with the different private aircrafts that come and go from the runways. The airlines have reduced flights here, and that is very evident, and the future of that is still unknown, Easton said. They are currently reworking their schedules to retool their resources and analyze demand to run their businesses in the most efficient fashion. As of March 25th, a report in the Chicago Business Journal stated that United Airlines was planning to cut back 52% of its domestic flight schedule in April. A report from the Dallas Morning News indicated that Southwest Airlines is cutting 2,000 flights per day from May 3rd to June 5th to reduce demand. As for the rest of the operations inside the airport, Easton added that the food court, along with the gift shop inside the terminal, remain open. The amount of traffic that comes in daily is determined by the individual leaseholder in those respective shops. They work closely with airlines of staffing and are run by those who own the leases to adjust their operations, he said. It's a day-to-day thing to see what's needed. Easton said that those operations are complying with local, federal, and state guidelines in regards to operating amid a chaotic time for the airline industry. He added that the airline will continue to remain open and will be taking The airport will continue to remain open and will be taking the necessary precautions needed in order to stay in compliance. The concerns moving forward are definitely industry-based, Easton said. It's not like the only thing that affects the airport here are here locally. We're just closely monitoring what's going on in the world right now. This article is entitled 11th Annual Autism Share Walk Goes Virtual. In order to prevent the spread of COVID-19, Autism Share Walk participants will not gather at Grande Communications Stadium. Instead, they will walk virtually with the same objectives of raising awareness for all special needs people, facilitate a way for participants to share personal stories, and encourage others to support the special needs community. The event is a fundraiser to benefit SHARE, which provides support services to local family members who care for children with special needs. Register online at autismsharewalk.com to receive the full list of instructions and access to crafts, activities, and other contests. Register now to receive your packet in the mail during the week of April 13th. Participants will walk in their own neighborhoods, then share pictures from their walk on social media using the event hashtag AutismShareWalk2020. At 10 a.m. April 18th, Share will broadcast a short program via Facebook Live. A virtual resource fair will be at 11 a.m. that day. Local agencies will meet with registrants via Zoom, an internet meeting software platform, to talk about services and answer questions. Event t-shirts and raffle tickets are available for purchase. To donate, join, contribute to, or form a team, visit AutismShareWalk.com. SHARE stands for Sharing Hands, a Respite Experience. This column is entitled Watch Out for Snakes by Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. Spring is here, meaning trees are budding, flowers are blooming, and dormant grass begins to green. The warmer weather is also drawing animals of all kinds out of their winter slumber, including snakes. According to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, Texas is home to over 105 species of snakes, with only 15 species that are potentially dangerous to humans. Among them, rattlesnakes are the most likely of these dangerous species West Texans may encounter. Indigenous to this area, they can exhibit aggressive behaviors, especially when provoked. Anticipating encounters can keep you alert and proactive in avoiding injuries associated with snake bites. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department reports about 7,000 people are bitten by venomous snakes in the United States each year. Although most snake bites will not prove fatal, death can result, with approximately 1 out of every 500 venomous snake bites resulting in fatalities. Texas sees an average of 1 to 2 deaths from venomous snake bites annually. Snake bite symptoms may differ based factors such as the type of venom, amount injected from the bite, and the body's biological reaction of its response to the venom. Although not all symptoms may be experienced, here is a common symptom list of common symptoms resulting from venomous snake bites: dizziness, nausea, vomiting, blurred vision, numbness, tingling, excessive sweating, increased salivation, loss of muscle coordination, muscle contractions, rapid heart rate, localized pain, burning, swelling, tissue death. If bitten, assume envenomation has occurred and use these proper treatment and management guidelines as you seek emergency medical attention as soon as possible. Keeping the victim as calm as possible, restricting any unnecessary movement, and keeping the affected area below the level of the heart to reduce the flow of venom. Call 911 and or the emergency department ahead of arrival to prepare anti-venom if necessary. Remove jewelry such as rings and bracelets to avoid constriction that can result from swelling. If possible, and at a safe distance, take a photograph of the snake responsible for the bite. This will help physicians, medical professionals, to properly identify and implement the proper course of treatment based on the snake involved. What not to do? Do not make incisions or cuts or bite marks. This can actually cause more venom to enter the bloodstream and surrounding tissues, as well as the increased risk of infection. Do not suck or vacuum out the venom. There is not enough evidence to support the efficacy of this treatment. Do not drink alcohol, since it can dilate the blood vessels and allow venom to spread more quickly. Do not use aspirin or other over-the-counter type non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. commonly known as NSAIDs, as these medications can increase bleeding. Do not use tourniquets or cold compresses. Each of these techniques can increase the pain associated from the bite, or worse, can cause necrosis, death of tissues, at and near the area of the bite. Medical treatment, especially antivenom, can be very, very expensive. The most common antivenom, Crofab, runs upwards of about $1,500 per vial with a single snake bite, requiring anywhere from 4 to 40 vials for treatment. Do the math, and one can ascertain that obviously prevention is the key to avoid snake bites altogether. When outdoors, make sure to avoid areas that snakes tend to favor, such as under rocks, wood piles, and brush. Keep yards, sheds, and other structures clean and kept. Tap ahead of you with a walking stick in areas that you cannot see your feet. Snakes will usually leave if you give them ample enough warning. Wear long pants and boots, especially in areas where snakes are known to be. Finally, if you see a snake, slowly back away and do not provoke it. There's a reason why the phrase, "You play with snakes, you're going to get bit," was coined. Anticipate encounters, stay alert, and steer clear are your best bets in keeping you and your family safe from snake bites during this springtime.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, April 5th, 2020. Section A. Looks good. Fat Jack's Filling Baked Goods Void by Ruth Campbell. With bread and fresh baked goods sometimes hard to find on grocery shelves, Fat Jack's is doing its part to fill the void. Owner Chris Woody said he has had the bakery for 17 or 18 years. With the COVID-19 pandemic, the business at 309 West Yukon Road has gone in a different direction. Before the oil field tanked, we did more corporate stuff and salesman-oriented. Now it's more individual sales and things that grocery stores can't keep up with, like bread and stuff. So we transitioned over and started doing some different items that we didn't normally make to help out with that. It's just kind of taken off. They come in for a loaf of bread and buy all the other stuff, Woody said. It doesn't hurt that everybody's on lockdown right now. Their own kids are driving them bananas, and so they're coming in for whatever they can get to get out of the house because there's limited options out there, he added. Hours are 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 6:30 a.m. to noon on Friday. On an average day, he comes in at 3 a.m. or 3:30. On the busier days, he comes in earlier. There are 7 employees altogether. They were expecting a huge slowdown because of the downturn in oil prices. It's a 12-hour day for most of us, 3 to 3, Woody said. Tabitha Bitsili has worked at Fat Jack's for almost 5 years. I live nearby, so it's real convenient. I bake all kinds of stuff. Whatever you see here, we make it from scratch, then we bake it. I'm used to it because I've done this for a long time. Even at home, I bake and I cook. Right now, it's kind of like I have to, Bitsili said. Sometimes she brings baked goods home, but a lot of times she'll give it to other restaurants so it doesn't go to waste. The physical size of the bakery is tiny. With all the restrictions on how many people can be in here, it takes a 2 to 3 person crew up here, and then everybody else, they just stay in the back and produce and rotate product. It's definitely been interesting the past couple of weeks, Woody said. He said everything that was popular before is still popular, but what caught them by surprise was the bread. We tried this for 15 years to sell bread, make fresh bread, and we couldn't give it away. Then once all this started happening 2 or 3 weeks ago, people are calling us and begging us for bread, and we can't keep it. So yeah, it's the strangest thing, You couldn't give some away for free, and now you can't keep it. But they're paying for it, Woody said. He said preferences haven't changed among the customers. It's just more quantity. Now everybody's stress eating, boredom eating, so it's more of the same. They don't really change much of anything, Woody said. The name Fat Jacks came about because Fat Chris didn't sound as good, he said. It didn't roll off the tongue like Fat Jacks. That's no joke. It's serious. There's no Jack. There never has been, Woody said. Before the customer restrictions of two at a time, Woody said there were times when the door didn't shut, and there would be 5 to 10 people lined up inside and a line out the door and down the porch. Business has changed so much with the coronavirus and the restrictions and everything. But yeah, even the past several days, we've had people lined up out in the parking lot waiting their turn patiently. Surprisingly, everybody has been really cool about it and nobody getting all upset. Where do they have to be? Very few of them are working. No place you can really go. The bakery has been in the same spot since it opened. It was formerly a house. The house was moved in from downtown Odessa that somebody had moved off a lot, and we found it just sitting out in a field. Some house movers had it up on blocks, and we bought the whole building for $2,500, moved here, and they moved it in, and we remodeled it and got it all to where it needed to be. It makes a big difference when you don't have to pay rent, the Odessa native said. Woody said he has always loved to bake and cook. Bread is notoriously tricky, but he said you just have to know what to look for. There's no real secret to it. It's learning the dough. The biggest problem most people do is they make it too puffy, which is called overproofing, or make it too thin, so it's underproofing. So you have to like a brick with one, and one is just a big pocket of air inside, Woody said. It's just time management, knowing what you're looking for, and practice, practice, practice. There's no real secret to it. Even still today when I do it, when we make these loaves of bread, I set a general timer to get them to rise and raise. There's not a set time. You have to know what you're looking for and know what it needs, he added. Pandemic and oil prices, a deadly pair. Virtual hearing on proration is April 13th by Ruth Campbell. The scale and speed of the coronavirus pandemic is something that's never been seen, and it's going to impact workers at all points on the economic ladder, Lisa Kennedy, managing principal and chief economist at Enopiphany, a management consulting firm in Los Angeles, said. She added that this will be a huge economic contraction that impacts low-wage workers more than others. Additionally, the Permian Basin's oil industry has been hit hard by a price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia. I've never seen anything like this, Kennedy said of the virus in a phone interview. I've never seen anything move this fast. In a matter of weeks, you go from a handful of cases to something that suddenly becomes an absolute crisis. I think the ability to test will certainly become important, and people will certainly understand where we need to potentially be. Kennedy said not locking down fast enough and the lack of testing were two big mistakes. There is a fear of the unknown at play as well. She said she has been tracking COVID-19 since December 31st. Anytime she sees a mystery illness, she scrubs the web for anything she can find. Estimates are that there are about 170,000 ventilators in the United States and about 14 ICU beds per 100,000 people. Kennedy said 320,000 ICU beds could be needed, and ventilators are needed quickly. Ray Perryman, president and CEO of the Perryman Group, said the COVID-19 outbreak caused economic disruptions, which affected the demand for crude oil dramatically because of a demand shock, causing prices to begin to fall. The decision by the Saudi Arabian government to engage in what is essentially a price war with Russia then caused crude prices to fall again sharply, at least temporarily, Perryman said. Kuwait and the United Emirates also decided to go along. If the Saudis dramatically increase crude oil production as they have threatened, it will also cause a supply shock to the oil market. It is already happening based on the threat, and the result is the price decline we have recently seen. It's essentially a perfect storm, with a demand shock due to the virus added to a supply shock. However, Perryman said that neither Russia, because of inefficiencies in its production, nor Saudi Arabia, because of the social spending that is tied to oil production, can sustain these prices indefinitely. But it remains to be seen when someone blinks. The U.S. may also be part of an agreement, he said. Until then, many firms in the U.S. industry and the supply chain will struggle, particularly smaller and mid-sized ones, as capital dries up and losses mount. While Russia appears to view the situation as a way to hurt U.S. shale producers, as they did a few years ago, that strategy is short-sighted. Production costs are falling dramatically in the U.S., particularly in the Permian Basin, and Russia cannot maintain prices at this level for an extended period. Perryman said that while these are very difficult times for some firms, their employees, their suppliers, and the area, others will weather the storm and perhaps pick up assets. Banks with significant loan portfolios in the energy sector will also be strained. With that said, I don't see the current situation as equivalent in any way to the 1980s, he said. Unlike during the 80s, the economy going into the virus situation was relatively strong, and that essential strength will begin to return as soon as we are past the worst of the virus problems. With a return to economic health, we will see the demand for crude oil pick back up. Once the Russians and Saudi Arabians end this current pattern, which they have every incentive to do, the supply-side problems should be somewhat alleviated. In other words, we are looking at a sharp and painful decline, but not years and years of downturn as we did in the 1980s, when the economy was very weak and a tax-driven overheated real estate market bubble burst, causing a financial crisis. In addition, oil reserves and production have been increasing dramatically recently, which is in sharp contrast to the 1980s, when we appeared to exhausting the available oil and gas in the area. Perryman said global demand will rise in the future as emerging countries continue to develop their manufacturing capacity once the virus has dissipated, a phenomenon that was not present in the 80s. There has been a complete revolution in the energy industry in the past three decades, primarily in the past 10 years or so, with technology, capacity, efficiency, demand, and many other factors having fundamentally shifted, he wrote. The industry and the area will look very different and better this time around once the recovery gets underway. Recovery will be easier the more we can keep the essential structure in the Permian Basin in place and sustained through the next few months. The current prices are not sufficient to sustain the industry at present, despite dramatic cost reductions in recent years, and the near-term situation will likely be difficult. Perryman said there is a lot of uncertainty at present, and the situation will certainly change. We looked at the current state of knowledge in several hundred industries and put together a reasonable scenario of how the virus and the oil situation play out, he said. On this basis, our preliminary estimates show a loss of about $7.5 billion in local output and 41,500 jobs across the basin. Note that the jobs are measured as full-time equivalents, or FTEs, so more individuals would be affected. Two people being out of work for 6 months is one FTE job. If we can help the workers affected and the businesses that are struggling remain viable through this period, we should see a relatively quick return to growth with building momentum. In the interim, an aggressive policy response to preserve the basic structure is needed at the local, state, and national levels. Odessa oilman Kirk Edwards said the big difference between what's happening now and the 1980s is because of the shale boom during the last 6 years. The Permian Basin has become the major drilling area in the United States and the world, with more than 50% of the rigs running here. Blessing, Edwards said, that is a blessing and a curse. The business is a lot more concentrated today in the Permian Basin than it was in the 1980s. The great news about that is the Permian Basin has been benefiting from the roughly $4 billion of new wells being drilled every month in the Permian Basin. But the bad news with this virus and the downturn is all of that's going to abruptly end just dramatically fast, Edwards said. Parsley Energy and Pioneer Natural Resources are asking for a demand hearing with the Texas Railroad Commission. The reason everything is shutting down, Edwards said, is the virus, which has devastated the need for gas and jet fuel. But in conjunction with that, Saudi Arabia and Russia are flooding the markets with their oil on the Gulf Coast. The producers that are here in the Permian Basin are now facing a situation where they can't even get their oil out of the Permian Basin because the pipelines are full, Edwards said. That is creating a devastating double whammy for Permian Basin producers. Asked about layoffs and people losing their jobs, Edwards said, assume the 400 drilling rigs running last month in the Permian Basin have 100 people associated with them, from drilling crews to the service companies to the operating people. That's 40,000 people employed just from the rig standpoint. And when a drilling rig goes down, they simply just lay off all the people. And if you lay off 100 rigs, which we've lost 100 rigs just in the last week on the North American rig count, and I can't see how we won't lay down every rig in the Permian Basin over the next 6 months. So that could be easily a loss of 30 to 40,000 jobs just here in the Permian Basin, Edwards said. And they're high-paying jobs, too. As to how long this will last, Edwards said it will run as long as Saudi Arabia lets it last. They're the ones doing it to us, and we don't know why, but they're the ones who can answer that question. They're the only ones who can answer that question, or until our Trump administration does something to protect the American energy industry and put some kind of tariff on their oil coming in, which would dramatically help salvage some part of our industry that's here today, he said. If Texas and the refineries on the Gulf Coast need a certain amount of oil, Edwards said it doesn't do any good for Texas producers to cut back 20% when Saudi Arabia will flood the market with an extra 20%. They'll just take that and flood us even more. So again, you have to do something along the lines of proration with some kind of mechanism to keep Saudi Arabia from flooding the markets. The Railroad Commission will have a virtual hearing on proration April 13th. Proration applies across all companies at the same time to lower their output to keep everything in balance in Texas, so there is no oversupply. Edwards said this is the first time in about 30 years that testimony will be given on how proration can help the state. We just need it for 60 to 90 days until the virus is gone and people start driving and flying again. But until that time, it would be a fair system if everybody cut back the same percentage. If not, the bigger people are going to win, and the smaller producers are just going to get smushed out, he said. Storage also is getting full along the pipelines. All the big tanks everybody sees around Midland, those are full of oil, and one of the places to put it is the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But the Democrats in the family's first coronavirus response package put in language to not allow American producers to put any oil in the SPR. It's in the bill, so that means the other outlet that we have to store oil in this country, the Democrats took away from us to get the package to pass, Edwards said. Also, the American producer is not going to drill a well and produce it for $5 or $10 oil. They'll shut it down until sometime when they hope and pray that the price will get back up to $20 or $30 again. So there's going to be a lot of self-proration going on right now, too. Edwards said, you might think people would sell their rigs or leases, but it happened too fast. There's just no buyers because nobody wants to buy a drilling rig that they can't do anything with, and then it will just sit and depreciate and rust. So it's truly a tragic situation that the Saudis have put the American producer in right now, he said. He said he knows the Trump administration knows the energy producer's plight. But it's just really perturbing to Texans and American energy producers why President Trump will not do something for us, and he still continues to defend Saudi Arabia over the American energy producer. But hopefully that will change soon, Edwards said.
Pandemic cranks up stress. Pros cite hikes in domestic violence, drugs, and alcohol use. By Bob Campbell, B-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. The COVID-19 pandemic is whipping up consternation everywhere, including homes where parents and children are together all day, every day, and the woes of domestic violence and alcohol and drug abuse worsen. Add financial pressures and things can get explosive. Nancy Vanley, ECISD's Executive Director of Guidance and Counseling, says the district started its helpline March 25th with counselors and social workers at the other end in the expectation it could be crucial. Operated from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. on weekdays, it is at 432-456-HELP, 4357. Premier Care takes up the calls during off hours. Not just concerned with the three or four mentioned issues, the ECISD people are also interested in assisting with basic needs like job loss, payment of rent and utilities, and the provision of household items like toothpaste and toilet paper, Vanley said. If they can't help, they refer callers to agencies like Catholic Charities and the Salvation Army. Vanley said Wednesday that more than 40 calls were taken in the first week. Since the schools shut down March 16th, the district has been dispensing meals for families at most campuses between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. on weekdays and had been providing weekend meals on Fridays. They have a virus-protective method of handing them over when you drive up, either with your child, 18 or under, with his or her ECISD student ID card or birth certificate. There's a lot more stress now with people being in their homes for extended periods, Vanley said. It's the entire situation, from teaching kids at home to the financial issues people are having. It's a difficult time that could lead to increases of child abuse, domestic violence, and substance abuse. We've had calls where they were having anxiety about the current situation, frustrations with technology and needing assistance. We try to get them whatever resources they need. Crisis Center of West Texas Executive Director Lori Dunham concurred that more bad things occur in such times. Usually, there is some sort of respite during the day when the partner is at work, so this increases their exposure to the possibility of violence, Dunham said. It's more than usual now with the increased tension of economic stresses and other stresses, but I always point out that stress in itself is not a cause of violence. Violence is more about power and control, and it's a calculated decision in a lot of cases. Dunham said the center had 35 women and children in its emergency shelter Wednesday, and that last year it did outreach counseling for 700 clients in Gaines, Andrews, Ward, Winkler, Pecos, Reeves, Loving, Crane, and Ector counties. Its 24-hour hotline is 1-866-627-4747. That's 1-866-627-4747. We've seen an increase in people requesting services, but the Odessa police have just started their lethality assessment protocol, where they do intensive screening after domestic violence calls, Dunham said. So in this early stage, it's hard to piece out whether that has caused the increase or it's the situation a lot of people in our community are in. We do know that if they're home together with more exposure to one another, that naturally provides more opportunities for violence and drug and alcohol abuse.
A commentary by Stuart Doreen. Practicing social distancing is the only way to defeat coronavirus. Are you practicing social distancing? The Johns Hopkins Medicine website describes social distancing as deliberately increasing the physical space between people to avoid spreading illness. For instance, staying at least 6 feet away from other people lessens your chances of catching COVID-19. Johns Hopkins is rated as the number 2 medical school for research in the United States by U.S. News. If East Coast academia isn't your thing, how about the chief medical officer at Midland Memorial Hospital? Dr. Larry Wilson offered the following on Thursday about how important social distancing can be to defeating coronavirus. There's only a singular thing that's going to stop this disease in our community right now, and that's social distancing. Shelter at home the best that you can, recognizing that we all have limitations and the ability to do that, but if you have to move out into the community, do it thoughtfully. Stay separated from others. If you go to a store and you see people aren't following that, find another store. The social distancing piece of this is going to protect us more than anything else for the foreseeable future. Think about this one point. If we were able to have 100% social distancing, everybody stayed 10 feet away from anybody else, anybody with the virus was self-isolated until they were symptom-free, we could kill this virus in a month. Think about that for a second. Coronavirus would be over in a month. What would you do for that certainty? Would you leave the family at home when it's time to go to the grocery store? Would you tell your children that playing with the kids down the street isn't an option right now? How restrictive would you be to guarantee a better future for the community? A while back, I asked, who are we as Midlanders? I wrote on March 22nd, from this point forward, how will your reaction to the pandemic and your actions define you? At the time, I was talking about a different type of sacrifice. However, since that day, 18 more Midland County residents have been confirmed cases of coronavirus. Could it be worse? Yes. There have been 89 more cases in Lubbock County. In Harris County, the county With the most confirmed cases in the state, there have been 847. How do we keep it from getting worse? Social distancing. Dr. Wilson and Mayor Patrick Peyton have repeatedly said, pleaded with, and begged Midlanders during unified command meeting to practice social distancing. It is the best way to flatten the curve and the quickest way back to a life of normalcy. If you are anything like me, normal is something that fades into your rearview mirror with every day of working at home, watching public meetings on live stream, and turning on ESPN to find zero live sporting events. Normal will return eventually, but it will be quicker if we follow the advice of those smarter than us. Stay home and stay safe.
Cystic fibrosis genes. Dear Dr. Roach, my 53-year-old son carries the cystic fibrosis gene. Will his sons and his nephews carry the gene? C.S. Answer. Cystic fibrosis is caused by genetic abnormalities in the CFTR gene on chromosome 7. There are many different mutations that can cause varying degrees of severity, and some abnormal genes do not cause disease at all. However, the classic cause is a mutation called F508DEL, and when people have two copies of this gene, they will have the usual form of cystic fibrosis. People with only one copy of an abnormal gene are carriers. Both copies need to be abnormal to have clinically apparent cystic fibrosis. I'm going to assume your son has one copy of the F508DEL and one normal gene. A full genetic analysis would be needed to prove that. According to classical genetics, half of your son's offspring, both sons and daughters, will carry the abnormal gene, and the other half will carry the normal gene. If one of his children has a child with another carrier, that child will have a 1 in 4 chance of having cystic fibrosis, a 1 in 4 chance of having two normal copies of the gene, and a 1 in 2 chance of being a carrier. His nephews have a chance of having the gene only if your son's siblings are also a carrier for CF or has CF themselves. Any siblings should consider consultation with a genetic counselor. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 7th, 2020, etc. Spoiled niece has history of misbehaving. Dear Abby, my husband and I want to host a college graduation party for our son. The problem is one of my sisters has four children, three teenagers, and an 11-year-old who doesn't behave at parties. My sister calls her our little precious. She and her husband come to events, ignore the kids, and want this to be their time to relax. Another sister has two teenagers who are very well behaved. My husband wants to ban little precious from the graduation party and invite the well-behaved teenagers. I agree with my husband that I do not want another party ruined, especially since my son worked so hard to graduate. But I don't want to cause a permanent rift in the family either. My sister is very stubborn, hot-tempered, and clueless. Advice? Sister in the middle. Dear sister, your son deserves to celebrate the milestone he has earned without the distraction of an unruly child casting a shadow over the event. Consider having a small gathering for immediate family only and something larger at another time that includes your son's friends as well as your own. Or invite your sister and her family with the proviso that if little Precious acts up, they will leave and take her home. precious my foot. Dear Abby, at 73, I am blessed with excellent health and stamina. The only nod to my age is that I like to have a 20-minute nap after lunch. However, my kid and others treat me like I'm 90. They keep asking how I feel and if I'm tired. My son-in-law Dave is anxious when I babysit my 4-year-old granddaughter unless it's at their home. How can I make clear to them that I'm as capable as I was 25 years ago without either insulting or angering them? Napping Grandma in L.A. Dear Napping, your daughter and son-in-law are lucky. Their daughter has a healthy, caring grandma who is willing to look after her grandchild while Mom and Dad do whatever. Not all parents are so fortunate. These days, 73 is not over the hill. Could Dave's concerns about your health be caused by ageism? Or does he prefer you do your babysitting at their house because he thinks yours isn't sufficiently childproof? As to offending your daughter and her husband, if you prefer to babysit at your house, that should be your choice. But if they don't agree with that, suggest they hire someone because you will be playing tennis, a round of golf, or training for a marathon. Dear Abby, an acquaintance I see occasionally has a grooming problem I'm reluctant to tell him about because I don't know him well. He has hairs growing out of his nose, and they are not only noticeable but distracting. How can I apprise him of this without embarrassing him and myself? Diplomat in San Francisco. Dear Diplomat, allow me to answer that question by quoting an ancient Chinese proverb. When in doubt, do nothing. While your intent is to be helpful, it would cause embarrassment, and I don't recommend it. Write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aries and a moon in Libra. Happy birthday for Tuesday, April 7, 2020. Life is very precious, and this year you value it more than ever. You will feel more introspective. At work, your presentation draws stellar support and admiration, and you move forward with a raise. Splendid financial opportunities will begin to manifest. If single, be receptive to avoid. You might be unattached for some time. Future happiness is to come. If attached, romantic bliss is promising, but you need to be more patient with your partner. Gemini worries too much. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. It is a good day to take a chance and experiment. Embrace what you love and who you love. Partnership is emphasized. So are your creative talents. Pleasure and fun are plentiful. Express your joy. Tonight, an intimate dinner with your most loved one. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 2 stars. You might be feeling emotionally repressed today. Utilize this feeling to clear up unfinished tasks and clear your desk and workspace of clutter. Complete a project that has been on the back burner for way too long. Pets play a role now. Tonight, rest. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. You are at center stage today. Live, laugh, love, and celebrate. Be wild and imaginative, and flaunt yourself. Children play a very important role in your afternoon. Create adventures and games for them to play. Tonight, be the person you always imagined you might be. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 2 stars. You are thinking very much of home today, and where you really belong. You can expect some misunderstandings and confusion related to your domestic scene. Pitch in and help around the house more. Tonight, communicate directly, especially with family members. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. An opportunity comes your way related to your community and neighbors. Be the leader you were born to be. You communicate well and take an unusual approach. Your mental activity might be operating on overdrive, so speak more slowly. Tonight, express your caring nature. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 3 stars. Today you are feeling highly sensual and also very opinionated. There might be a tendency to be somewhat fixed in your thoughts. Avoid stubborn behavior. It is a good time for gardening, cultivating ideas, and going over your accounts. Tonight, early bedtime. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today is your day. Think big and act big on your ideas and goals. Unexpected resources will arrive, causing you to feel very fortunate. You have a chance to expand and to gain recognition, even fame and power. Tonight, count your many blessings. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. You have the inclination to withdraw from public view today. Give yourself a break when it comes to producing. Your energy might feel low, and you need to rest. Your challenge today is to be independent without feeling isolated. Tonight, spoil yourself. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 2 stars. You tend to be aggressive today in dealing with people and groups. If there is a discussion over a contract, you challenge others and can be combative in your position. Calm down and take deep breaths before you speak. Tonight, dinner at a favorite haunt. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. You are feeling ambitious, pushing ahead in your career on an ordinary day. You have got your eye on a promotion or landing a new client. Stretch your stuff. Aim high, shooting for the moon, so to speak. Tonight, conference calls first. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. You might be feeling restless, planning an escape from the routine. In your correspondence, a flirtation with a foreign-born person could go deeper. Are you ready to follow through, or do you just like the initiation of romance? Tonight, explore a new language. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. You are a searcher and a seeker of truth today. You want to launch a journey into the unknown. Reap what you have sown related to your interest in higher education or long-distance travel, including space travel. Tonight, add more fun to the moment. Born today, poet William Wordsworth, 1770, singer Billie Holiday, 1915, director Francis Ford Coppola, 1939.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.